Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily. I'm Alex. It's Sunday, April 19th, 2026, and we have, genuinely, one of the bigger news weeks in Anthropic's history to work through this morning.
Yeah, I was looking at the rundown last night, and I had to double check that it wasn't 2 weeks crammed together. Like, there is a lot happening here.
There really is. We've got a brand new product that rattled the entire design software industry. A significant API outage right in the middle of enterprise buying season. Some serious security conversations happening at the highest levels of government. A code review feature that's pretty technically impressive. And a few things on the security and safety side that are worth spending real time on.
And threading through all of it is this consistent theme that Anthropic is not just an AI lab anymore in the narrow sense. They're building products across categories that a year ago, nobody would have put them in.
Right, so let's just get into it. The biggest story, and by far the most talked about thing this week, is Claude Design. Let's start there. So Anthropic launched Claude Design on April 17th, which was Friday, and the reaction online was, and I'm quoting from one of the headlines here, "The internet explodes." Which is a little dramatic, but also kind of accurate.
Kind of accurate. I mean, within a few hours of the announcement, Adobe stock was down, Figma was getting hammered in after-hours trading, and in futures, the headline from Mint literally says, "Claude Design tanked those stocks." That is a meaningful market reaction to a research preview tool.
A research preview. That's worth emphasizing. This is not a finished, polished, generally available product. It launched as an experimental tool under the Anthropic Labs banner. And it's available to Pro, Max, Team, and Enterprise subscribers.
But here's why the market reacted so strongly even to something labeled experimental. What Claude Design actually does is substantial. You give it a natural language prompt, just describe what you want, and it generates prototypes, slides, one-pagers, mock-ups, landing pages, wireframes. It can even produce interactive prototypes. And the engine behind it is Claude Opus 4.7, which at this point is Anthropic's most capable vision model.
So not just static images. We're talking about something that can produce an interactive clickable prototype from a text description.
Exactly. And think about what that replaces in the traditional design workflow. You've got a product manager or a founder who has an idea. They normally have to write a brief, hand it to a designer, wait for iterations, go back and forth. With Claude Design, if the reporting is accurate about what it can do, you're collapsing that into a single step.
Now there's a setup step. The tool apparently requires an initial design system configuration before it can generate on-brand assets, so it's not completely zero effort. But once that's in place?
Once that's in place, yeah, the friction drops dramatically. And I think that's the part that spooked the market. Adobe has Firefly for image generation. Figma has its own AI features, but neither of them has something that feels like an end-to-end creative production pipeline driven purely by language.
Storyboard 18 ran a piece calling it something that rattles design software giants. And I think that framing is fair. When a tool in research preview causes your competitor's stock to move, that's telling you something about how the market is reading the trajectory here.
The thing I keep coming back to is, this is Claude Opus 4.7 specifically. Anthropic built a new model version that has strong enough vision and multimodal reasoning that it can be the engine for a design tool. That's not a trivial capability jump. That's a different category of what the model can do.
And it connects to something we've been talking about on this show for a while, which is Anthropic's strategy of expanding from API and chat into specific vertical product experiences. Claude Code was the first big one. This feels like the second one.
And potentially a much larger addressable market. There are a lot more people who need design assets than who write code professionally.
Absolutely. Now the Inside Hook piece described the internet reaction as explosive, and from what I saw on social media, that's accurate. Designers in particular had a lot of feelings. Some impressed, some worried, some skeptical.
The skeptics had a point too, right? Generating a wireframe from a prompt is one thing. Whether the outputs are actually good enough for professional use is a different question. research previews can be impressive demos that don't hold up under daily production work.
True, and we'll learn more as people put real hours into it. But the initial reaction suggests it's at least impressive enough to move financial markets, which is not nothing.
Not nothing at all. I think the real test is whether the design community starts actually using it in workflows, or whether it stays a demo people share on social media. Those are two very different outcomes.
We'll be watching. And speaking of things that had a rough week, the API outage.
Oh yeah, so this one's actually kind of painful timing-wise.
The timing could not have been worse. On April 15th, Anthropic's Claude platform suffered a significant widespread API outage. Claude.ai went down, the API was down, Claude code was down. This hit free users, pro users, Macs, Team, Enterprise, Desktop, Mobile. Essentially all tiers and surfaces.
And according to the Startup Fortune reporting on this, it happened right as enterprise procurement season is heating up. So you've got enterprise buyers, companies with potentially large contracts on the table, evaluating the platform, and the platform goes dark.
The incident apparently started around 10:53 in the morning Eastern time. There was a partial fix attempted, but full resolution took a while. And enterprise procurement season is not a metaphor. Q2 is genuinely when a lot of large software contracts get evaluated and signed.
And the thing about outages for enterprise customers is that it's not just an inconvenience in the moment. It goes into their reliability calculus. Their procurement teams are literally scoring vendors on uptime and incident response. A high-profile outage during the evaluation window is a real problem.
It's the kind of thing that shows up in risk assessments 6 months later. They had a platform-wide outage in April 2026 becomes a checkbox item in somebody's vendor review.
Now, to be fair to Anthropic, every cloud-scale platform has outages. AWS has outages. Google Cloud has outages. The question is how quickly you respond, how transparently you communicate, and whether it's an isolated incident or part of a pattern.
And from the reporting I've seen, this wasn't described as a pattern. It reads as a notable incident rather than a chronic problem. But yeah, the timing adds a layer of frustration.
There's also an interesting juxtaposition happening in the same week. You've got Anthropic launching Claude Design, which is a big product expansion move, and simultaneously the core infrastructure has an outage. The ambition of we're expanding into design tools runs directly into the credibility question of, can we keep the lights on for the stuff we already have?
That's a tension every fast-growing tech company faces, but it's more acute in AI right now because the reliability stakes are high. When people start putting these tools into real workflows, into code pipelines, into design pipelines, they need them to be there.
Yep. The tolerance for downtime drops proportionally to how deeply embedded the tool becomes in the workflow.
All right, let's talk about Claude Mythos, because this one has some interesting layers to it.
Yeah, this is a story that kind of flew under the radar compared to Claude Design, but it's worth paying attention to.
So HelpNet Security, which covers the cybersecurity beat closely, included in their weekly roundup an assessment of Claude Mythos. And the framing is around offensive capabilities and ethical limits. What we know is that the Mythos release has been delayed, and cybersecurity concerns appear to be part of that.
Right. So Mythos is Anthropic's next major model in the pipeline, further along than Opus 4.7. And the delay seems to be tied to concerns about what the model can do in offensive security contexts, meaning, could it help someone do something they shouldn't be able to do?
This is actually something Anthropic has been pretty explicit about in their responsible scaling policy. They have what they call capability thresholds. If a model crosses certain bars in terms of what it can help with in dangerous domains, that triggers a different review and deployment process.
And offensive cybersecurity capabilities are high on that list because a model that's genuinely good at finding vulnerabilities, writing exploits, doing the kind of analysis that red teamers do, that same capability in the wrong hands is a significant risk.
The HelpNet Security piece framing it alongside an Adobe Acrobat Reader zero-day vulnerability being actively exploited is interesting context. We're in an environment where the threat landscape is active and real.
I actually think this is one of the more nuanced stories in AI right now, because the same capabilities that make a model useful for security researchers and defenders are the capabilities that could be misused. There's no clean line between helpful for security and dangerous.
And Anthropic seems to be sitting with that tension and taking it seriously, which, from a safety standpoint, you'd say that's the right call, even if it's commercially frustrating to delay a product.
Delaying a model release because you're worried about its offensive potential is actually meaningful. A lot of companies would just ship and deal with the fallout later. Choosing not to do that is a real decision, with real costs.
The flip side is that this stuff doesn't stay bottled up forever. If Anthropic doesn't ship Mythos, other labs will ship comparable capabilities, and those labs might not have the same caution built in.
Yeah, the first mover tension in safety is real. Being the most cautious actor doesn't eliminate the risk if you're not the only actor.
It's a genuinely hard problem, and it connects to the conversations Anthropic has apparently been having with the White House this week, which we should get into.
Yeah, the Pentagon conflict's angle on that is interesting.
So there's been reporting this week about Anthropic engaging with the White House on topics that include Pentagon conflicts of interest concerns and broader security frameworks. The specifics are a bit opaque. This is the kind of thing that gets reported through a few layers of inference. But the fact that these conversations are happening at that level is significant.
It reflects where Anthropic sits right now. They're not just a research lab. They have models that are being considered for government applications that potentially interact with defense-related use cases, and that means you have regulatory and oversight conversations happening at very high levels.
The Pentagon angle specifically, I think this has to do with questions about AI companies that have government contracts or are pursuing them, and what kind of conflicts of interest that creates. Anthropic has Amazon as a major investor, has Google as an investor, both of which are also major government contractors. That creates a complex web.
And the White House, regardless of administration, has been increasingly interested in having frameworks for how AI companies with significant capabilities interact with national security. That's not a partisan thing. It's just a structural reality of what these models can do.
The security framework discussions seem to be part of a broader effort to establish norms and possibly formal rules around AI deployment in sensitive contexts. Anthropic has been more proactive than most AI companies about engaging on these questions rather than waiting to be regulated.
Which is a smart approach, honestly. If you're in the room when the rules are being written, you have more influence over what the rules say. Though it also puts you in the position of having to navigate a lot of competing interests.
All right, let's talk about the ID verification story, because this is something that will directly affect some Claude users and it's worth knowing about.
Yeah, this one's interesting. Anthropic started rolling out a government-issued ID verification requirement for certain Claude users in April 2026. The policy appeared in their help center between April 14th and 16th.
So not everyone. The reporting says certain users. The implication is that this is being triggered by specific usage patterns or account flags, rather than applied universally to everyone who signs up.
That's actually a pretty sophisticated approach, if that's how it works. Mass ID verification for every new account would create enormous friction and probably drive people away. Selective verification for accounts that trigger specific signals is a more targeted way to handle abuse concerns.
The Daily Star reported this. And the framing is around platform integrity. Which makes sense. The concerns you'd be using ID verification to address include things like people evading bans, creating fake accounts to bypass usage limits, or, in more serious cases, trying to circumvent safety measures through account manipulation.
There's also the regulatory angle. Depending on what direction government AI rules go, having some form of identity verification might become a compliance requirement rather than an optional tool. Getting the infrastructure in place now is smart.
The privacy implications are real, though. Asking someone to upload a government-issued ID to use an AI chatbot is a meaningful ask. People reasonably have questions about how that data is stored, who has access to it, how long it's retained.
And there's a civil liberties dimension. if you're using Claude to discuss something sensitive, medical questions, legal questions, questions about your personal situation, knowing that your real identity is attached to that conversation changes the calculus for some people.
Anthropic will need to be very transparent about their data handling practices around this, or it becomes a trust issue that undermines the product. You can't build a product whose value proposition is helping people think through difficult things and then make people afraid that their identity is exposed.
Agreed. The intent seems sound, keeping bad actors off the platform, but the implementation details matter enormously here.
Now, there's another security story this week that I want to spend a minute on because it's technically interesting and also a little embarrassing for Anthropic. The Claude Code source code leak.
Oh, this one. Yeah.
So this actually happened on March 31st, which was 3 weeks ago, but it's getting more coverage now because researchers have had time to dig through what was exposed. Anthropic accidentally included Claude Code's full source code in an NPM package as a JavaScript source map file, a 59.8 megabyte file called CLI.JES map that got bundled into the package by mistake.
Source maps are a developer tool. They're meant for debugging. They map minified code back to the original source. Including the full source map in a distributed package means anyone who downloaded that version of Claude Code got the source code along with it.
And what researchers found in that source code, according to the Let's Data Science reporting, was evidence of command injection vulnerabilities, meaning the code had patterns that could potentially allow an attacker to inject malicious commands through certain inputs.
Now, there's some nuance here. Finding patterns that could enable command injection in a static code review is not the same as demonstrating a working exploit. The severity depends on whether those code paths are actually reachable in normal or adversarial usage, and whether there are other mitigations in place.
That's a fair caveat, but the underlying incident, accidentally distributing your source code in an NPM package, is genuinely embarrassing. NPM packages get downloaded millions of times. Once it's out there, you can't unring that bell.
And source code exposure matters even beyond the specific vulnerabilities it might reveal. Competitors can study your architecture. Adversarial researchers can look for patterns that aren't obvious from the public interface. It's a significant intelligence advantage for anyone who wanted to probe the system.
The timing is also interesting because it happened March 31st, which was shortly before the sandboxing announcement and the Ultra Review feature, both of which are specifically about improving security boundaries in Claude Code. Whether those things are connected or coincidental, I don't know.
Could be coincidence, could be that the internal audit triggered by the leak surfaced some of the security architecture thinking that led to sandboxing. We don't know. But the sequencing is at least interesting.
Let's actually get into those technical features now, because both of them are pretty substantive. So Ultra Review is a new feature in Claude Code. It's a deep code review capability, and it works differently from the standard review command that's been in Claude Code for a while.
Yeah, the standard slash review command is a single pass thing. Claude looks at your code, gives you feedback. Useful, but you're getting one perspective from one run of the model.
Ultra Review deploys multiple reviewer agents, a fleet of them, in a remote cloud sandbox. These agents work independently of each other, and then their findings are aggregated. The key innovation is that findings get independently verified by other agents before they surface to you.
That's the thing that makes it genuinely different. If you have one AI reviewer flag something as a potential bug, there's some chance it's a false positive. The model made an error, hallucinated a problem that doesn't exist. But if you have multiple independent agents all looking at the same code and they all agree there's an issue, the signal-to-noise ratio is much better.
Higher signal, lower noise. That's explicitly how Anthropic describes the value proposition. More signal by independently verifying findings, broader coverage through multiple passes.
And the remote cloud sandbox aspect is important. These agents are running in an isolated environment, which means they can do more thorough analysis without the risk of something going wrong in your local environment. You're not running a fleet of AI agents on your own machine.
From a practical workflow standpoint, imagine you're working on a pull request before merging something significant. You kick off Ultra Review, it runs in the background, and comes back with a higher confidence set of bugs and issues than a single pass could find.
The comparison I keep making mentally is to having multiple senior engineers do independent code reviews and then compare notes. That's a thing some teams do for critical code. Ultra Review is trying to automate that process.
And doing it at a speed and scale that would be cost prohibitive with actual human reviewers. Like, you're not getting three senior engineers to independently review every pull request. But you might be able to afford running Ultra Review on your most important changes.
The premium feature framing suggests there's a cost attached. This probably isn't in the base Claude Code subscription, which makes sense given the compute involved in running multiple agents simultaneously.
Worth noting, this is targeted at branches and pull requests specifically. Structured code review moments, not continuous monitoring, which is the right use case. You want deep review at the decision points, not constant overhead on every keystroke.
And now sandboxing, which actually connects to the security discussion we were just having.
Right. So Claude Code's native sandboxing is a significant architectural change. The old model was, every time Claude Code wanted to execute a bash command or make a change to a file, it would ask you for permission. Every time.
Which sounds safe, but in practice becomes exhausting. If you're doing any kind of automated task, scaffolding a project, running a test suite, doing a series of refactors, you're clicking approve constantly. And when humans get fatigued by constant permission prompts, they start approving things reflexively without actually reading them, which is actually less safe than a well-designed automatic system.
So what sandboxing does is establish defined boundaries upfront using operating system-level primitives. These are low-level isolation mechanisms built into the operating system itself. Within those boundaries, Claude Code can operate without constant prompts. Outside those boundaries, it still needs permission.
The specific implementation restricts write access to the current working directory, meaning Claude Code can read and write files within the project you're working on, but it can't go wandering around your file system. Network access is also controlled.
And the OS-level primitives part is meaningful. This isn't just software checking, am I allowed to do this? It's the operating system enforcing isolation at a fundamental level. That's harder to bypass accidentally or through a bug in Claude Code's own code.
Which loops back to the command injection story, actually. If you have OS-level sandboxing properly implemented, even if there's a command injection vulnerability somewhere in the application code, the damage it can do is bounded by what the sandbox allows. Defense in depth.
That's a good way to put it. You're not relying on a single security measure. You're layering them so that if one layer has a flaw, the others still constrain the blast radius.
And for agentic coding, which is increasingly what people are using these tools for, not just complete this function, but build this whole feature while I go get coffee. Sandboxing is really not optional. The longer the agent runs autonomously, the more important it is that it can't accidentally cause damage outside its intended scope.
I think this is going to become table stakes for any serious agentic AI tool. If you're going to give an AI agent significant autonomy over long-running tasks, you need credible isolation. Anthropic is building that in at an architectural level, which is the right approach.
The user experience improvement is also real. Fewer permission prompts means a smoother workflow, but that's almost a secondary benefit. The primary thing is just making the system actually safer in a principled way.
So let me connect back to something in this week's AI Week in Review piece that I think gives good context for all of this. The framing there was that this was a big week for agentic AI capabilities specifically.
Yeah, and when you look at everything together, Claude Opus 4.7 as the engine, Claude Design as a new product surface, Ultra Review as a multi-agent code review feature, sandboxing as infrastructure for safe autonomous operation, there's a coherent story about where Anthropic is going.
They're building toward a world where Claude isn't just answering questions, but is actually completing tasks. Long-running tasks. Tasks that involve multiple steps, multiple tools, operating in real environments.
And the infrastructure choices, sandboxing, multi-agent verification, remote cloud execution, all point to taking seriously the engineering challenges of making autonomous operation reliable and safe, not just capable.
There's also the Claude Cowork story, which is sort of a counterpoint to the optimistic framing.
Yeah, this is a good reality check. Claude Cowork is a desktop-based AI agent application that's available to Pro and Mac subscribers. It can do things like browse the web, manage files, interact with applications on your computer. Genuinely impressive scope.
But a piece in AI Reset to Zero, which has been tracking this closely, raised some pointed concerns about the fragility of current generation agentic AI platforms, using Cowork as the example.
The core argument is that these systems are impressive in demos, but brittle in real conditions. When you have an AI agent that's trying to navigate real-world interfaces, websites that change, applications that behave unexpectedly, workflows that don't go according to plan, the failure modes multiply.
And the failure modes in an agentic system can be different in character from the failure modes of a simple chatbot. A chatbot that makes an error gives you a bad answer that you can correct. An agent that makes an error might take an action that's harder to undo.
Deleted files, sent emails, submitted forms. These are the kinds of actions an agentic system might take that have real-world consequences. And if the agent doesn't handle unexpected states gracefully, you can end up with significant unintended effects.
The author's criticism seems to be less about Cowork specifically, and more about the gap between the promise of agentic AI and where the technology actually is right now. The category is real, the direction is right, but there's a maturity gap.
And I think that's a fair critique. The sandboxing work and the ultra-review architecture, those suggest Anthropic is aware of the maturity gap and trying to close it, but building reliable agentic systems is hard. And available now, and reliable enough for production, aren't the same thing.
The honest answer is that this stuff is early. The agentic AI category is maybe where mobile apps were in 2008. The primitives are there, people are building exciting things, but a lot of it is going to break in unexpected ways, and there's a long road to robustness.
And the users who understand that framing are going to have better experiences than users who expect something that just works perfectly every time. Managing expectations is part of this.
All right, let me run through a few more threads from the week's coverage, and then we'll start to close out.
Yeah, there's a lot still to touch on.
So one thing from the week in review coverage that I think is worth noting, Claude Opus 4.7's release itself. We've mentioned it in the context of Claude design, but the model launch had some specific technical details worth flagging.
The improvements in coding are the obvious headline, but the vision capabilities are what enabled Claude design. Anthropic has been building out multimodal reasoning, the ability to understand and generate across text and images together, and Opus 4.7 represents a meaningful jump there.
The long-running agentic tasks framing in the model announcement is interesting to me. They're not just saying this model is smarter. They're saying this model is specifically better at the kinds of sustained multi-step work that agents do.
Which requires different things than being good at answering a question. Consistency over a long context window, reliable following of complex multi-step instructions, knowing when to stop and check in versus when to proceed. These are different capabilities than one-shot reasoning.
And the coding improvement specifically. Claude Code is the product that benefits from those directly. Better model means better code output, better code review, better understanding of complex code bases.
The Ultra Review feature is essentially taking those improved capabilities and multiplying them through the multi-agent architecture. You're getting better per-agent output and also getting multiple agents. It's compounding.
Let me also just quickly mention the AI Week in Review piece's framing of where Anthropic sits competitively right now, because it's relevant context.
This has been a notable stretch for Anthropic. There was a period where the narrative was, OpenAI does the product stuff, Anthropic does the safety research. That narrative is clearly not accurate anymore. Anthropic is shipping products at a pace that rivals anyone in the space.
And they're doing it while maintaining a pretty distinctive positioning on safety, the Mythos delay, the sandbox architecture, the ID verification work. These aren't pure PR moves. They're actual product and engineering choices that have costs.
The question that I keep turning over is whether that combination, ambitious product expansion plus genuine safety investment, is sustainable. Can you move fast and be careful at the same time? The answer right now seems to be mostly yes, with occasional exceptions like the source code leak and the API outage.
Mostly yes, with occasional exceptions, is about the best you can hope for from any organization operating at this pace and scale.
True. I'm not holding them to a standard of perfection. I'm just noting that the tension is real, and it requires constant management.
All right, let me give a quick rundown of the smaller items from the week before we close out, because there's a few things worth mentioning even briefly.
Yeah, hit them.
The ID verification rollout. We covered this, but to add one more dimension. The Help Center documentation for this appeared between April 14th and 16th, which suggests Anthropic wanted to have the policy documented before it started affecting users. That's at least a signal of some process around communication.
Better than rolling it out silently and having people confused about why they're suddenly being asked for an ID.
The Adobe and Figma stock reaction to Claude Design is worth one more beat because I don't want to understate it. We're talking about two companies with combined market caps in the hundreds of billions, and a research preview tool from an AI lab moved their share prices. That tells you something about where professional-grade creative software is headed.
And it tells you something about investor psychology around AI disruption risk right now. People are not waiting to see how a tool performs in production before pricing in the threat. The announcement alone was enough to trigger repricing.
That could be overreaction. Claude Design might turn out to be a useful tool for certain use cases, but not a replacement for professional design workflows. We genuinely don't know yet. But the market is clearly assigning significant probability to significant disruption.
And companies like Adobe and Figma are going to have to respond. They can't just wait and see. They're going to have to ship more aggressive AI features of their own, and faster.
Which is ultimately good for users. Competition in this space accelerates capability.
It's also good for the AI ecosystem generally. When multiple companies are racing to build the best AI-powered design tool, the quality of AI design tools goes up fast.
Okay, one last item I want to touch on before we wrap, and it's the White House conversations around AI security frameworks, because I don't want that to get lost.
Yeah, this is substantive, even though the details are a bit sparse.
The reporting suggests Anthropic has been engaged in active conversations at the White House level about how advanced AI models should interact with national security considerations. Pentagon conflicts, security frameworks, these are the domains being discussed.
The significance is partly about what's being discussed and partly about who's in the room. If Anthropic is at the table for these conversations, their perspective on how AI safety and national security intersect is going to shape whatever frameworks emerge.
And that's a significant responsibility. These aren't academic discussions. The decisions made in these conversations could determine what AI companies can and can't do in defense-adjacent contexts, how liability is assigned, what kinds of oversight exist.
Anthropic has been pretty public about believing that AI is potentially the most consequential technology in human history. Being engaged at the government level is consistent with taking that seriously. You can't just build in isolation from the policy environment that's going to regulate you.
The flip side is that being in the room comes with obligations. Once you're engaged in shaping the rules, you own some of the outcomes. If a framework you helped design turns out to have problems, you can't claim you were just following the rules.
It's a kind of moral responsibility that I think Anthropic has accepted knowingly. For better or worse, they've decided that engagement is better than standing apart.
Time will tell if that's the right call. My instinct is that disengagement was never really an option. If you're building technology at this scale and capability, you're going to be regulated regardless. Better to have a seat at the table.
Agreed. All right, I think we've covered a lot of ground this morning.
We really have. Let me try to leave listeners with the through line for this week, because there is one.
Go for it.
Anthropic is in a genuinely complex moment. They're expanding aggressively. New model, new product category with Claude design. New features in Claude code that are technically sophisticated. Conversations at the highest levels of government. At the same time, they're navigating a source code leak. A platform outage at a critical moment. A model delay due to safety concerns. And the hard questions about what responsible deployment of increasingly capable AI actually looks like.
And none of those things are in contradiction. They're all just true, simultaneously. This is what being a frontier AI lab looks like in 2026. The expansion is real, the problems are real, and the questions are hard.
If there's one thing I'd want listeners to take away, it's that the sandboxing and ultra-review work, the security architecture stuff, is actually underrated in how significant it is. It doesn't have the market-moving drama of Claude design, but the quality of the infrastructure you build for agentic AI is going to determine whether this category succeeds or fails in the long run.
You can have the most impressive demo in the world, and if the underlying system isn't reliably safe and predictable, enterprises won't deploy it at scale. The boring security infrastructure work is actually load-bearing.
Exactly. And Anthropic seems to understand that. The week has drama, but there's also serious engineering work happening in the background that's easy to overlook.
It's a good week to be paying attention to this space, is what I'd say.
Always is. All right, that's Claude Daily for Sunday, April 19th, 2026. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Take care, everyone.